Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here is a Bible teaching session entitled Keeping the Church Pure. The scripture tells us that Christ cares for the church. He gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He wants to keep the church pure because the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is to remain holy even in an impure world. We look around us today and we see so much devastation and violence, ungodliness, but we can remain pure as believers because we belong to Christ. We're the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. We make up the body of believers. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's the way to remain pure. Do not love this world's system. Certainly we love the world that God has made. The song even said, "This is my Father's world." We love God's creation, but we do not love this world, with this sinful world and the system of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot be devoted to this world and at the same time be devoted to Christ. Jesus himself said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and despise the other, or else he will hold to the one and hate the other." You cannot love God and mammon, or this world's system. The way that the church now is being influenced by pagan culture is one of the things that keeps us from being pure. Deceived by pagan influence, allowing the culture of our day to dictate who we are and how we're going to live, what we're going to do. We have a rather unpleasant scripture to talk about today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about this situation that has arisen in the church in Corinth, and we'll let the scripture speak for itself. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. The apostle is saying this is not even heard among the heathen, those who do not even know Christ. And now here are people who claim to know the Lord, claim to be in love with Jesus, but yet it's carnality. It's even fornication. Even to the point that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Paul said, instead of being mournful, instead of being repentant, you are puffed up, bristled up, trying to defend your ungodliness, instead of humbling yourself before God and repenting and getting right with God. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Preachers have suggested that because of hyper grace, that this person can be delivered, the flesh can be destroyed, and the spirit can be saved, and everything will just be all right. They didn't do well in this life. They didn't live like God wanted them to live. So the Lord just kills them and takes them on home to be with Him. Boy, how mixed up can we get in our teaching? Paul said, this is the way you're thinking. You're thinking that somebody can just do what they want to do and claim the name of Jesus. The flesh could be destroyed and the spirit could be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus. The next verse, he said, your glorying is not good. In other words, the way that you're thinking is not right. Instead of allowing the person to continue to do what they want to do and making out like that everything is all right, he said it has to be dealt with. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not, don't you know, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It's like that bad apple. It'll spoil a whole barrel of apples if you don't get rid of it. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. When they were instructed in the Passover feast in the Old Testament, one of the primary things that they had to do, other than applying the blood of the lamb and eating the lamb's flesh, is that they would not eat leavened bread. There would be no leaven in their houses. They had to eat unleavened bread throughout the feast, the whole week. Unleavened bread. Got to get rid of that old leaven, and it's compared here to sin, because a little bit of sin, a little bit of leaven, leavens the whole lump. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And we serve, brothers and sisters, a merciful and a compassionate and a long-suffering God. Now, He will not violate His holiness. He will not go beyond and get into sin. But He will go as far with you as He can to try to reach you, to try to bring you back to Him, to try to bring you to Him initially, because God is the God of salvation. He knows our frame. He knows our estate. He knows our condition. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who trust in Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And in the midst of this badness, in the midst of this sexual perversion and fornication and the apostle having to deal with this situation, he puts a golden nugget and says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. This is the feast that we keep, not the old leaven, not the old feast. Christ, He fulfills our sacrifice. He fulfills, and He is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not the old feast that they used to do with the rituals and the washings and all this that they did, the application of the blood of the Paschal Lamb. Now we apply the blood of the real Lamb, the blood of the Lamb of God, which is applied not over the doorpost, but over the lintel, over the doorpost of our heart. The blood of the Lamb. Let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you're going to eat unleavened bread, this is the unleavened bread that you eat. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, there's a decision that has to be made, and it's called an authoritative decision. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. The apostle says, I wasn't talking about separating yourself entirely from people of the earth. It's impossible to stay away from people who may not think like you do, or who may not be church folks. You can separate yourself and come out from the world. But he says, I wasn't talking about being separate to the point that you would have to go out of this world. To really be separate from all the sin and all the ungodliness that's going on in our nations now, you would have to go out of the world. And we'll do that one of these days. Goodbye, world, goodbye, the song says. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer. And watch out the railing and gossiping. It's amazing how it's put in the same sin category with fornication and wickedness and ungodliness, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. Don't even eat with someone who claims a relationship with Christ, but yet is living this ungodly life. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? What do I need to do to judge those on the outside? Do not ye judge them that are within? You should be about church business, about the King's business. We have enough to deal with in our own life, keeping our own doorsteps clean and watching out and guarding our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But them that are without, them that are on the outside, them that are not believers, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. The other translations has it, that pervert. Put the pervert away from among you. Withdraw fellowship from them so that they will know their wickedness. Committed to God's standard. God has a standard for not only dealing with sin, but for hopefully restoring those to the fold who have gone astray. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Now, this is not the same thing as when you come to the altar and present your gift and you remember that your brother has something against you. This is a situation to where your brother has actually transgressed and trespassed against you. Not that you have something against your brother or that you have done him wrong, perhaps, but this is a situation to where you have been offended. You've been trespassed against. Your brother shall trespass against you. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Oh, how many tattletales would not be in the church if we would go by and follow God's standard, which he gives us to deal with each other. Most of the time, what happens is, oh my goodness, brother, I didn't realize I said that. I didn't realize I did that. Sisters, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. And you'll end up having a little bit of a cry time probably, or maybe shouting and praising the Lord. And sometimes it's like, oh man, I didn't even realize. I wish you hadn't even worried about that. I didn't realize I had done that. So there's a way that we can get things straight and keep things good in the family of God. To go and tell a person between you and him alone. You say, well, I could never do that. Well, why are you going to tell somebody else about it? If you tell somebody else gossip and you can't go to the person who you think has offended you, then you all just keep that trap shut. Don't say anything about it. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Then everything will be all right. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So you get you a little committee, and you take the witness, and you go to this brother or sister, and hopefully you can rectify it that way. By the way, I know all of us are in certain places in our Christian life. I must not be grown too much, because if you come after me for a committee, go ahead and count me out, and I'm not interested in getting in your business. But that's pathetic in a way, because we should be grown enough and mature enough to be able to help each other out. Most of the time it ends up being a gossip session instead of a reconciliation session. These are some tough passages to look at, and not only tough to look at, not that tough to look at, but it's tough to get all the meat sometimes. And the real tough part is to apply it properly. But if you do, you'll be rewarded. You'll do what's right. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the person will have to make a decision. Do I want to humble myself and get right with God, or do I want to go away and really have a lot of chastening, a hard time? In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word may be established. And this is the same precedent that was set in the law. The law would not allow for one person to testify against another and that person be put to death. It had to be at least in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now hopefully it won't get to this point to where you have to tell it to the church. But the big thing about telling to the church here, when Jesus said this, the church as we know it was not even there. There was no church as we know it. Jesus had told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And now he says, tell it to the church. And he's prophesying in the future, knowing that the church would be. And it is now, praise the Lord. But if he, that is this person, will neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Well, it's so much better to be like Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, keeping the church pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There's so much evil report out there. But whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord, the song says. Things of good report, not ill report, not bad report. Isaiah said, Lord, who shall believe our report? Those who will believe the good news of the gospel are the ones who will believe the report. If there be any virtue, power, and glory, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. There is a way that we can do things in the right way, and God will help us. He will stand behind us, and he will help us when we do that which is right. So we end up where we started. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, you can name a whole lot of things, but it's all covered in these 3 areas. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh. Flesh, I just got to have it. The lust of the eyes, I want more and more. Pride of life. I did this, I did that. These 3 areas, Christ was tempted. Lust of the flesh. You be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Lust of the eyes. All this I'll give you if you'll just fall down and worship me. Pride of life. Cast yourself down from this temple. God will take care of you. Well, he didn't do it. Jesus said, it is written, every time man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, you will serve the Lord your God, and him only you'll serve. You will worship him alone, and him only you will serve. It is written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Jesus always answered Satan with God's word. And you and I have that same weapon that we can answer with the word of God. Not what I think, not what the pastor says, not what the bishop wrote, but it's according to what God says. It is written, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, no matter how craving, no matter how strong it is, is going to go away. It's going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father in heaven, give us grace to do what's right. Give us humility to humble ourselves before God, to repent of our sins. As this person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as we know it, as history, the Bible says, they came to their senses. They got right with God. The church did what was right, and they were restored. We don't know all the details. We don't need to know all the details. We don't need to know all the details that's going on in our churches now. All we need to know is when we do what's right. When we do what's right, you'll always do what's right. And we thank you for that. I pray, Father, that you give us the strength to know that we can stand by your word and your word will stand by us. We pray that many people would be reached for Christ in this trying and challenging time that we're living in. Help us to be faithful now as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Keeping the church pure has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.